Hi, I'm John Zombro, the host of the Lifetime Athlete Podcast, and thank you for being with me here today. This show is all about trying and succeeding at becoming strong, fast, mobile, supple, agile, durable, versatile, just a better human beast, a more athletic athlete, being hard to kill, both on the playing field and in the game of life. So I salute you and thank you again so much for being with me today. And it's also my great pleasure to be here with a man who is strong of body, strong of spirit, and he is my bro. My coach, my bro coach, my brooch, PK.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I think the coffee is kicking in.
I think it is. I really do. I think you're on a rocket ship now. I like it.
Because we were yucking it up a little bit before we went on air, and I was starting out a little sluggish, but you know what I say to a lot of my clients, a lot of my athletes is your best finishes typically follow your slowest starts.
Really? Is that sort of what you've observed? Is that a true story?
Yeah. So energy is finite, you know? And so if you blow it out, coming off the line, sometimes, you don't have enough go to get the end of the show. If you know what about, I'm talking about the mojo there.
I sure do. Don't stop it. What are we talking about today?
Oh man. So this show really is great. Episode number 165. So loving that fact, but also, I have just recently, had a renewal of inspiration of just, you know, watching various programming that's available. We have so much in so many sports and I try to follow, as much of it as I can. And I get all these great, examples of human athleticism. And one of the things that's very popular right now is, you know, kind of the concept of fitness as sport. And I just watched some championship events from CrossFit and from Spartan and from High Rocks. And so that's really going to be what we'll eventually get into today, kind of talking a little bit about those competitions, as well as, you know, what I saw as some of the kind of like physiologic or objective considerations within each camp.
I like it. I like it, John. I'm familiar with the CrossFit games, like vaguely knowledgeable of Spartan, and I have no idea what High Rocks is. So I'm excited to learn and chop this up today.
That's cool. And I really love, you know, the chop chatter that you and I have, because I think our chemistry is pretty good. You know, you kind of know how to ask the questions that pull things from me and occasionally have to keep me on task or track. So, hey, I appreciate that. And again, a lot of this spins off of what we're doing, what we're doing with the Training Tribe, the T2, that's our online training team. You know, it's more than just a group. It's an entire community. You know, it's based around programming and connection and excellence. And so that's sort of what's going on this week in our masterclass. We're kind of, double dutying a little bit. We're this month of January, we're working on a metabolic reset, which we talked about on the show previously. Mm-hmm. And so this week we're removing some trigger foods, you know, pulling the trigger on those foods, which may be autoimmune provokers. But in our programming, we're really trying to become motion smiths. And I like that word. I don't know if anyone else has ever used it before, but motion smith or movement smith, being a kind of a master of shape, position, posture, motion in the human and everything we do, trying to do so with supple fluidity, with grace, with poeticism. And so that's kind of what we've been working on in the agility block. A lot of different exercises, a lot of variety, a lot of chances for enhancing competency and mastery in being a motion smith. And so that's what we've been working on. And I feel, I don't want to say I feel sorry for the group because they see my exercise demonstrations, but you know, there are probably some things when they say, gosh, you know, look at Coach Jay-Z, here's a 56-year-old dude, not bad, you know? And I think that happens from time to time, but then I'm sure there are other times when they're like, room for improvement. And I accept that fully because I think that's the journey that we're all on.
Sure, John. I mean, you know, sometimes they may watch and just say, damn, that's beautiful. Just watch that guy go. Look at that. Look at the gracefulness and power captured in that vessel.
whether it's true or not, it's what we're all working towards and supporting right. each other and doing it. So sure. If any of my tribe peeps are listening, love you, got your back. Thank you for what you do. And now jumping right into our topic of today, this whole, you know, CrossFit versus Spartan versus Hyrox. Well, there's for a very long time, you know, perhaps almost forever, there's been this concept of what is the most fit person, or maybe even what's the ultimate athlete in some levels.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I haven't studied this in depth like you have, but, you know, this was, you think of like Marines or, you know, before any of this sort of fitness as sport came into play. And then we also had, you know, the decathlete and all these different disciplines, you know, I think even before it became, I guess, sort of commercial and sort of evolved into what it is today.
Yes, absolutely. And I think you know, you talk about the warrior and the gladiator and obviously things just move along. And so then as different, let's say areas of fitness or sports or conditioning came about, you know, we had the Ironman, which was definitely looking at endurance, right. you know, and all of the offshoots that came from that, sort of like beyond the marathon, if you will. And then in strength, you know, we've got, you know, the strongman competitions, strong women, strongest person in the world type of thing, Highland Games, you know, all that is really great. And it's someone's interpretation of, gosh, in our arena, this is how we express and expose the highest levels.
Absolutely.
So now we have these several things. And again, I don't want to sell anybody else short, but I think these are the three big things right now that are going on in this kind of like fitness as sport community. So again, that's CrossFit, Spartan, and Hyrox. And I'll explain those as we go along. But my goal today really is, there's no way that I could be totally comprehensive, but I can showcase the recent championship events that each discipline had, you know, late 2020. And we can have our discussion based around that. In fact, for anyone who is listening, I'll link it in the show notes, but you can also go to thelifetimeathlete.com and look at this week's article on the blog, which not only goes through some of this information, but it has links to the video programming for each of these three competitions.
Nice. Well, we're going to get started with the CrossFit Games, and you're talking about the 2020 finals of this past year.
Yeah, and I found this to be quite exciting. So just probably most of our listeners already know exactly what we're talking about anyway, but, you know, CrossFit goes through, you know, kind of a tournament model where they start to have their games, and all eventually it gets down to the pros, and this is the final. So here are the elite of the elite, and they're competing. There's 10 finalists, 5 women, 5 men in the games. And, you know, so this one, you know, it evolves every year, you know, which is always good to see, but comprised of 12 events over 3 days and really made for an exciting show. So they have a couple events per day, and defending champion Tia Claire Toomey won her 4th consecutive title. And then Matt Frazier went on to his 5th victory, 7th medal, ever, because he's got 2 silvers as well. So here's a list of the events. And there's no way we'll try to beat them up too much, but we'll just go through them somewhat briefly. I copied and pasted these from Wikipedia on the 2020 games. So first of all, they had a 1500 meter row, you know, that's done on a concept 2, and then 5 rounds of 10 bar muscle ups and 7 shoulder overheads, your presses, and the women use 145 pounds, men use 235 pounds.
Got it. Maybe let's go through, you want to talk about each one of these individually or go through a few of them or just read the whole list? What do you think, John?
Well, I think folks can refer to the list. If we went through a dozen, I would probably be stymied. But so that was one example, you know, how they started it off.
Sure.
You know, historically, CrossFit hasn't had too much in terms of like endurance running in it, but they did have a 3-mile loop run on this on the ranch where they hold the event. You know, so it's on dirt in California. It's got a lot of hills. So they did something like that. Had a cool event with doing sprints on an actual bike, not necessarily like a stationary bike, and then alternating that with ropeless leg climbs. They had an air bike, like an assault bike attack, where they would do that and then dive into the pool and swim across and do some med ball slams. One of the ones that I liked quite a bit was, they called it the sprint sled sprint, where they do a 100-yard dash, jump behind a weighted sled, push it for 100, and then spin around and sprint back without the sled. That was pretty cool. So kind of cool stuff. You know, they're looking at, putting movement challenge and dynamism and loading into the body. And so it makes for great competition. So here's what I've got to say, about.
Yeah, John, let me just ask a question before we get into that. So if we go back even to the first one, I know that there's another event I do want to talk about. Well, let's look at that first one. So 1500 meter row, then 5 rounds of 10 muscle ups, then 7 shoulder to overhead. So, and the men are doing 235 pounds, just as an example. Mm-hmm. Break that specific event down for me, just as you interpret the what you need as an athlete to complete each of those 3 different exercises, or I guess components, and then how they're different. Start with
So you need for the aerobic component there, that's a high output 1500 meter row. So you've got to have a lot of aerobic power. I mean, sure, it's going to use some amount of, say, like strength and muscular endurance, but that's a real gasser. So that ability to, kind of like peg redline, at least for the brief amount of time it takes to do a 1500. And then those bar muscle ups, obviously that gets into where, CrossFit, originally founded by Greg Glassman, former gymnast. So there's gymnastic skills are involved in that. Muscle up is definitely an example of that. Mm-hmm. And then strength, just pure strength, overhead pressing, weights, like that, are, that's just a really high level of competency in that arena.
Sure. And then we look at all 3 of those together. You can't just have strength, but you mm-hmm. need it to do 235, 7 rounds of, that shoulder to overhead, because you also need to lift your own body and the muscle up, and then also have the endurance. So I think when I zoom out and look at CrossFit, it is this multidiscipline where you do need this incredible strength, but you also need agility and high levels of fitness, and be able to do all a mix of those in each of the events. It's impressive to watch.
Oh, it totally is. I think it's inspiring and also, quite entertaining. And so really the whole model with CrossFit is they talk about work capacity a lot, and just the ability to compress and put out just high work. And so that's a great example of it, as you discussed there. And really what you see as you start to watch this, the sport tends to both recruit and develop a very muscular athlete. These are almost like mobile bodybuilders when you look at them. And yet, because it does have the gymnastics and Olympic style lifting, it does have that big agility requirement for CrossFit, more so than you'd see if you just did, let's say, bodybuilding or powerlifting alone.
Yeah, I think about it. And I have watched a couple of videos when the events involve doing a walking handstand. That's where I'm like, that's a skill, and that is obviously requires strength and talent. But being able to go from a run and then to do handstand push-ups where you're balancing yourself, and then getting into squats or etc. That is the one where I'm like, wow, this is a this does require athleticism, more so than just, straight line strength or endurance.
Yeah. And, obviously we're looking at and talking about, the pros, the elites. And so that's really cool to see what they can do. In fact, that's probably one of my own personal limiting factors, because of, my shoulders, they're not, I no longer have 20-year-old shoulders, unfortunately. And so, heavy overhead presses and snatches and handstands, they're gone for me. That ship sailed. And so I do what I can to maintain function, But sure. I would have to modify quite a bit to be able to try to, even if it's scaled down, to do the things like they're doing.
Oh, definitely. But don't you think that makes it fun? Because if you've ever done a CrossFit workout or a CrossFit type workout, to then, get on the YouTube and watch it being executed in a prescribed way at the highest level, it's just friggin' impressive.
Oh, totally is. And I think that's the whole purpose of bringing this out is really to celebrate all the things that these people are doing in all these sports. And so not really to be critical, I think, look at how that helps to build, a great athlete and camaraderie and all the things that are wrapped into their design. It's pretty amazing, quite frankly.
Well, it's also talking about the mental aspect. You see Matt Fraser, he's a good example of there just has to be, the mental game that they're playing, the determination, the grit that it requires to not only complete the event, like the performance, the sport, but to train to get yourself in a position to have success. It's really incredible to me because it is a will that has to be, tapped into to really perform at the highest level.
Yeah. And you can't say enough about, either champion, Toomey or
Fraser, sure.
but Fraser, what a gamer, what a baller, a guy like he's there to compete. And I think this was his best games ever. And I can't remember what the exact total was, but I think he won 9 or 10 out of the 12 events, straight up.
That's
and so,
crazy.
They would interview him and say, looks like you could really coast. You've got this in the bag. You don't have to push. And he's like, well, I want to see what I'm capable of, And so that I really admire that. And also, you would think it's just like, it's just a workout, but that's not really the case, because when they were going through their snatch, they had a snatch ladder, So, the last rep's 285 and he has an Olympic lifting background. He's a great lifter, but he missed the lift. He's a little bit off. He had to drop it. And then he stepped back and he kind of looked left and right. And, some guys were coming and he just like maintained his composure. He's like, okay, I can't rush this, but if I can execute, I can get across the line first. And he did. And so it's like, wow, that's, you see that in every sport where, when it's crunch time, when it's clutch, the champions show up.
I love that. Well, I'm going to definitely have to tap into that, that playlist that you made. And do we need to say anything more about CrossFit before we move on to Spartan?
No, I think we created a good picture of what the games were like. And that was really the goal that I had for that part of the discussion.
Let's do it. All right. Tell me about, now I don't know that much about the 2020 Spartan games.
Okay. So, Spartan, I can't say I know exactly how many years it's been existing, but probably not much more than a decade. It was originally the brainchild of Joe DeSena, who, kind of got very interested in, what really does make for a really good or maybe best athlete. And he looked back to ancient Sparta and said, it was the Spartan warrior. And that was kind of how he developed his system. And, that kind of is one of the big leaders in the OCR or obstacle course racing environment. And so that's quick backstory on Spartan Games. So this one was really unique because it was an invitational event, 4 days held in October up in Pittsfield, Vermont on DeSena's farm. And there were 24 athletes, 12 female and 12 male, kind of living dormitory style. And these were elite competitors. And how they did this, they brought people together from a variety of sporting backgrounds. So they had, like an ex-football player who was now a free diver. They had ultra runner. They had obstacle course racers, people who are dedicated to that, mountain bikers. So again, a lot of different kinds of athletes coming into this with the idea. I don't know that they ever said this, but like, let's just see, who can do the best at this. And, for the actual event list, what I did for this one was I just put the link to Obstacle Racing Media's Spartan Games page. They've got a clickable link there that pulls up a spreadsheet so you can see all the events. And there's also there's also the video. I've got that linked up in the article that if you want to watch the show, it's a 4-part show. Fun, but here's the thing. Spartan, at least the games as we're watching them, we're talking about that, not necessarily your local race, although similar. It's an endurance-based competition in part. Anything, I mean, here's some of the events. They had a six-hour trail run. First of all, I was like,
wow.
I mean, doing anything for 6 hours? They had a long mountain bike ride, open water swim. So that was part of the competition. But they're also, you know, warrior skills, you know, in the races, like the local Spartan race, they'll always have that spear throw where you come up to it. And if you miss, you have to do 30 burpees. But in this one, they had wrestling, you know, which was nice. Mm. They had a ring, you know, in sand, and people, you know, went hand to hand, which was kind of cool to see. They had different agility components that were kind of wrapped into their obstacle courses, you know, so you have to negotiate obstacles and carry things, all that. And then there was also some strength focus because they had an event lifting Atlas stones. You're kind of like that. They were just big rocks of different shapes.
Sure.
But here's what I gather from Spartan. I think this is in their marketing media as well, is that durability. You know, so if you look at CrossFit and you said versatility, now you look at Spartan, it's like durability. That's the main focus. Who can best handle these long sessions and back-to-back days, kind of like of marching into battle, like a Spartan, it seems like that's what they've done. And those people tend to rise to the top. And so on the women's side, Lindsay Webster, really close race, edged out Corinna Coffin by a mere 7 points. And then on the men's side, kind of two guys who are perennial going at it in OCR, Ryan Atkins held off Hunter McIntyre by just a few more points, by 9. So it was close competition, a little bit of drama, made for good TV.
Nice. That's really interesting. And I know that we're going to kind of talk a little bit more about, you know, what type of athlete would succeed in this world. But did you also see the or I guess have the most chance for success? Did you see the mental game come into play as you were watching? Because I imagine that, you know, I'm thinking about the wrestling component. That could be something where, if that's not something you do often, it could completely smoke you. It's a completely different discipline as some of these more sort of endurance-based, pieces.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely saw that. You know, the people that, you know, were bigger, stronger, had some experience, clearly did well. And, you know, it almost was an exhibition-like event on that respect for some of the folks.
Oh, I got it.
But yeah, and we're definitely, I want to, when we come back to kind of comparing all three together and talking about the athletes, I want to dive into that a little bit more. But what I saw was, I saw less of, like, in CrossFit, there was like the head-to-head competition, you know, that's how it's working. In this, it's like, by the third day, you know, you got to get up, and it's like, oh, well, now we're going to do a 6 hour run. And so it's more like, you know, keeping it all in context or perspective.
Right. So do you feel like, that is interesting, because in CrossFit, they're just direct, you know, they're competing against their own best time or whatever, but they see the other competitors and there's that urgency. And what you're saying with the Spartan Games is that when you get to the sort of second half of the 4 day competition, you know, it's not as sort of me against this other person immediacy, because there's longer events and they're sort of, you know, pushing themselves.
Yeah. It's like, I've got to survive this thing. And, and the event length is, you know, the CrossFit events don't take that long for most of them. You know, they're, you know, minutes, whereas, you know, several hours at a time, that's a different world, a different animal.
6 hour trail run. Yikes. I'm excited to get back to sort of comparing, contrasting all three. Before we do that, we have to go into High Rocks, and I know nothing about this, John. So lay it down for me.
Yeah. So this is probably the newest thing out there. I think it's originally out of Germany, you know? And so I think there's a High Rocks line of gyms, and I don't know exactly what it stands for, whether it's a company that sponsors it, but it's gym-based competition is first of all. And so what they had this fall was the High Rocks World Championships of Fitness, the Elite 12. And so that was kind of how they set it up, you know, six women, six men. The women compete against women, men compete against men. And they use terms like the World Series of Fitness and functional fitness athlete. So that's kind of where Hyrox is coming from. And again, it's the Elite 12 competition was, it was a gym based, you know, big warehouse style gym. Mm-hmm. And it was a sufferfest that lasted, you know, a little more than an hour. So it's all out all the way, who can get done first. And so in this competition, the athletes, ran 8 times 1,000 meters on a curved belt motorless treadmill while connected to heart rate monitors. So you could see on the display screen, on the display monitor, you know, everybody was pretty much 97% max heart rate. You know, this is what you were watching that for some reason they wanted to show that. But it was each time you ran a repetition of 1,000 meters on the treadmill, it was interspersed then with an event. And so you had 8 runs and 8 events and you go run one, event one, run two, event two, until you get to the finish line. And so that's how it worked.
Got it. And so, and they're hooked up. So the audience is seeing their heart rate and they're getting some, I guess, insight into what's going on biologically with the athletes then, or just when they're on the treadmill.
Yeah, you're watching the whole event, and then every once in a while, you know, the camera pans over and you see their rates. And I mean, there's one argument we might come back to. It looks a little bit like a cardiomyopathy waiting to happen. But having said that,
I'm getting a real Ivan Drago Rocky IV vibe here from how you're describing this.
Yeah, and it's a burn. It's all about the burn. And so here are the events. There's only 8 events, so I can just say them real quick here. 1,000 meter ski erg. So everybody knows that's kind of like the ergometer where you pull down on the handles. Sled push, 50 meters of that. Weights are different for men versus women. Sled pull with a rope. Again, weights are different. Burpee broad jumps, 80 meters. 1,000 meter row on the Concept 2. A 200 meter farmer carry with heavy kettlebells, one in each hand. 100 meter sandbag lunge. And then 100 reps of wall balls with the medicine ball. You know, you're kind of, it's basically like a squat thrust. And again, weights were different. And then when they completed that last rep of wall ball, they just had to dash across the finish line, which was a couple feet away. And so that's kind of how the event worked.
Got it. Okay. And so what did you know, if we had versatility, CrossFit, Spartan, we had endurance. What's the one word that you would pull together the Hyrox world?
Yeah, I'd say it's the burn, and then I'll try to explain.
Burn. Got it. So, okay. Yeah, lay it down for me.
Yeah, you've got Lauren Weeks of the U.S. She took the victory for the women, and Hunter McIntyre, he was dominant among the men. So this competition's all about the burn, and it's basically this: who can hold red line for an hour or so. And so that becomes, power is your derivative there, because so maybe that's even the better word is power, because it requires a very, very high VO2 max, you know, in other words, you know, oxygen, you know, efficiency there, being very proficient in this event with running. You know, you got to do 8 times 1,000, good tolerance of lactate. But then that blend of like strength and speed together, it's like, okay, you know, you got to carry heavy stuff and move it as quickly as possible to get to the next thing. So that's kind of where, you know, okay, there's that power component. I think it's quite easily visualized.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, looking at the list, there's certainly, you're burning and you do have to carry heavy things, but not as heavy. Not heavy in the context of, say, a powerlifting or weightlifting competition heavy, you know, I think at least is when I'm looking at that, which is not to diminish the weights that these athletes are moving around. It just is a little bit different flavor, although it does fit into the moving heavy things around.
Yeah. And when you think about it, it's like, okay, you're coming off the treadmill after going 95% plus. So now suddenly, even moving your body is like a heavy weight, you know, and there are no breaks. And so that's one of the differences, like, say, you know, CrossFit, you know, you have breaks between the events. This is just it's a total mashup. It's just like, go.
John, I think that, you know, it's bringing me back to actually a time when I did that, you know, in my distant past, where, you know, it's, you're sprinting on the treadmill and then going on to do another exercise. That is just a I mean, I can't imagine keeping that going for an hour and the ability to perform all these at a high level and do it over 8 times. That is just, it's just friggin' impressive as well. All these are, but that's thinking about sort of what that would, you know, how bad that would reduce me to dust really makes me have an appreciation for what these athletes are doing.
Yeah, and definitely, I think that's what you said. It's like, it's amazing to see what they do at the world-class level. And if you and I were going to do anything like this, we'd scale it down to work for us for sure. And so what I would say, just kind of going right into, is that these world-class athletes are amazing. We want to salute them and, you know, recognize that right off the bat that, like, you know, and I wouldn't sell you short, PK, but like, I would look at what they did there and say, well, I don't even know if I could get done all of that before I gave up, John, regardless of time.
Stop it. Sell me short. There's no way. I mean, I think that's why it is impressive. And I think it does make for compelling viewing, but, one thing I think that would be super cool to do is say, okay, these are world-class athletes. We've talked about the different events. Let's use the Animal Fit framework to talk about what kind of physical skills and what kind of makeup allowed different athletes to achieve at the very highest level in these different competitions.
Yeah, precisely. And so let's see, how do I want to talk about that? I think, you know, yeah, so we're, right away, I'd say, you know, every athlete in these competitions was world-class. And so we see that. Yeah. And you're moving towards talking about Animal Fit. I would just like to posit that instead of suggesting that one athlete's better than the other, it's more they just showcase a different type of athlete, these events do. And so by each group's definition, their champion is the fittest in that genre. And yet the very traits that make one a champion CrossFitter might not be the best Spartan or even OCR athlete. Well, OCR athlete and Spartan fairly synonymous, or let's say high rocks competitor, because they all expose slightly different things physiologically, as you know, brought out from me. But this one thing's for sure is that, like, obviously the volume and intensity that those folks are doing these things at would have to come down to, you know, Jay-Z PK level for us to be able to utilize them either as parts of training or competition. And, you know, pros are pros for a reason. And I think we just want to touch on that, but they do give us these very distinct pictures of bodies. And that's where, you know, we get into Animal Fit. And so, so I have a new book coming out in a few weeks, and it's actually a revised second edition of an ebook program that I originally wrote with your help, PK, back in 2018. And it's called Animal Fit. And, you know, right away, if anyone is interested in learning a little bit more about Animal Fit, we talked about that at length on the show. You can just go to thelifetimeathlete.com and hit on in the search window Animal Fit, and you'll get some resources. But now it's going to be available in paperback. And so the subtitle remains the same: Unleash Your Inner Beast and Unlock Your Athletic Potential.
Yes. And I personally am a huge fan of not only the book, but the application in everyday life, simply because it helps explain your own gifts and areas where maybe you don't perform as highly. And John, you've really done a great job of breaking down just, you know, the individual beast that we all are and why we're good at some things and why other things can be a challenge. And so huge proponent of this. And anyway, I just wanted to add that before you go on to talk about a little bit more about the book.
Yeah, well, thanks, PK. I really appreciate that. And so Animal Fit, it does combine both science and whimsy as it helps the reader to embrace an animalistic profile of their athleticism. So, you know, by going through the book, it is fairly simple. You can determine which one of 9 animals in the Animal Fit kingdom best represents your inner athlete. And so those are bear, panther, coyote, badger, wolverine, raccoon, wolf, otter, or bobcat. And these are animals in the greater Yellowstone ecosystem, which I have, you know, had the privilege and honor of watching and learning from. And so, you know, I'm oftentimes You know, on Instagram, you know, a lot of times I post about training and health, but I intersperse that with pictures of animals and nature because I find that so inspiring. Anyway, absolutely, going with that theme, I'll relate these fitness competitions to a few of the animals. And I think it'll be fun for you and I to, you know, consider or ponder these things.
Let's do it. Let's start with CrossFit.
Okay. CrossFit is the territory of the badger and the wolverine, hands down.
Okay. Tell me why.
Okay. So I'll kind of give you, some data points and come back to these two animals that we talked about. And, you know,
all right,
again, without reading the book, I can still in a few sentences help the reader to understand what we're saying. So bears, you know, bears are your biggest, strongest critters in the kingdom. So they're super strong, but they're just too big to move that mass, you know, so they can't sustain the wads. So CrossFit doesn't work for, you know, the hugest of folks. Panthers, you know, so that's our speed-based creature, who are smoking fast. They'll sometimes do okay, but they usually lack the repeatability, you know, needed for all those grinds. They kind of have a poop out factor. And a lot of that's based on, you know, because a true panther is just less gifted at aerobic metabolism than at anaerobic metabolism. So there's always an underlying physiologic principle. Now, you know, when we look at the games, and so I'm not talking about using your local box and doing some training, adapting to fit your body. When you look at the games, almost all the top competitors are these badgers and wolverines. And why is that? CrossFit breaks people who are just a little more fragile. So otters, raccoons, bobcats, wolves, eventually that load is just too heavy. I mean, you can say what you want to say, but in the games, it's not scaled. And so, you know, when you get to, you get to 285, you got to snatch it. And so, you know, a real wiry person, they can't do it. So only the most tenacious, ferocious, durable beasts like badgers and wolverines. So those are the people in, you know, our animal fit kingdom who, you know, they're well-muscled. But they are also a bit more proficient movers with their muscle mass than would be, let's say, you know, the bear or the strongman. And so that those are the people that stand atop the CrossFit podium because they can combine that ability to move with agility plus the high strength.
Yeah, and I tell you, I love the you know, since I obviously know what the badgers and wolverines are, seeing those athletes in the CrossFit games being the absolute pinnacle of what those, you know, what the badger and the wolverine represent in the animal fit kingdom. It really is just so cool to connect the dots on that. Highly encourage anyone to, if you're curious, not only if it's where you fit in, but just kind of like, you know, I asked the question, how could Matt Frazier do that? Reading Animal Fit actually helps explain the gifts that he has to be able to do it. And it makes it less, I guess, sort of mysterious and awe-inspiring and actually connects his physiology with the performance. So it's super fun.
Yeah. And I was just thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about you. And so you are a wolverine and I'm a wolf. And so, you know, I was thinking about what if you and I decided to build a cabin out in the woods? And so I don't know why I'm having these thoughts, but like, so you and I we've got this property, we're going to build a cabin. We've got an unimproved road that's coming to the site. Well, okay. Here's how, if you, the wolverine, we were going to, have a truck, show up and a dump truck and dump a load of gravel because we're going to do some fill on our foundation work. And so we were able to get the truck right up to the building site, dumps a big pile of gravel, and then we got this big old wheelbarrow, short ramp. Well, no one in the animal kingdom is going to be able to fill that wheelbarrow and hump it up and over and in as heavy, as many reps as PK. You know, that's, you're going to get that done, you know. But the other side of it would be, well, if the truck couldn't get up the driveway and it had to dump the load like a half mile down the road, and all we have is this little rinky dink, skimpy, small wheelbarrow, then that would be my deal. It's like, I'm going to make like, you know, 17 trips or 57, but that's how it's going to get done. And I think that, I love that, Whether you're talking about digging holes or wheelbarrows of gravel, they really do help to appreciate the different bodies.
Absolutely. And I think that if Francis played that scenario, by the way, I love this you and I building cabin in the woods theoretical. It's not even, it's like, depending on where they dump it, we just say, okay, we have to use different skills. We're not going to go ahead and just equally take turns. If it is the long distance, you know, that's going to be one that you are going to own and I'll do something else. But if it's close, you're all right. We switch it up. And I think that's kind of like a great breakdown for, you know, some of the different sports that we can pursue as lifetime athletes, depending on what our gifts are, you know, where we fit into the animal fit sort of framework. In terms of having success and feeling successful, you know, like if I had to do the scenario where I'm running that 17 trips a half a mile, I'm going to feel just game over, not in the same way as if I just have to make, you know, that little ramp and then dump those loads. So John, I love that. It's such a great thought exercise. And I think that you can do that yourself, depending on where you fit in and what animal you are in animal fit. We could use the same scenario.
Yeah. It's just, that's how you build a good team. You know, the players play the positions that fit their strengths best. You know, it's just whether it's sports, life, business, you know, you start to figure those things out. And so maybe that's an even more global goal with animal fit. But, you know, speaking of beasts, since I probably have to say some things, I was talking about Spartan, and then I'll, at the end of that, I'll probably, you know, just kind of comment on, you know, a thought I just had. I'll save it for them. But so Spartan, ooh, it's a different beast, as you could tell from our previous discussion. It emphasizes a slightly different athletic animal. So here's the thing. There's enough strength demand and power because, you know, you do have to, you know, carry some things and, you know, lift a few things here and there. It's going to eliminate the coyote right away because, again, the coyote is just a little too on the fragile side to handle some of that. We saw this in the games when, you know, there was a coyote athlete in the Spartan Games, a professional trail ultra runner, and he got last place in the men's comp. Now, I'm not trying to take away anything from the guy, still a great athlete, but overall was dead last. I use that term a lot when I talk about myself, dead last, because you know what that means. And then he didn't even win the trail run. He only got fourth in that because I think a couple of those other events prior to that had worn him down. And again, that's you know, what we're looking at with this whole Spartan model is, you know, like not to be resistance to getting worn down. So it has way too much endurance for any bear. You know, you're just not going to see, you know, a bear can walk all day, but they're not going to be able to run all day. That's just not what bears do. There's not enough true speed in Spartan to match up with a panther. You know, there are no sprints. You know, it's all grinds, at least as I see it. So, you know, raccoons, otters, they'll do okay. You know, they've got a little more kind of athletic capacity than a straight up coyote, but it's not really their strength. What this Spartan stuff does is it really favors the wolf, you know, so you've got to have that endurance component, but have just enough strength and agility to handle most of those events that throw things at you and have enough overall stamina to be, you know, atop the podium at the end.
Yeah, John, I'm glad you brought that up. And it kind of really addresses my question about the wrestling component. Because if you know, if you are just a straight up coyote, even if it was just kind of an exposition, as you mentioned, exhibition, that wrestling match would smoke you in a way that wouldn't allow you to draw on your other strengths in terms of endurance, simply because you had to go outside of where your core competencies are and where you excel into an arena where it's going to take you into depletion. So I think it's really cool to hear you sort of articulate and break down what happened and why this coyote, although an exceptionally skilled ultra runner in his discipline, had some challenges in this particular Spartan race.
Yeah, and that's also, it brings up another part of animal fit, you know, in terms of say, being one of the primary animals, which is a coyote, which is endurance-based, a bear is strength-based, panther is speed-based, but then these hybrid animals, there's something different. So those are all the other ones that we're talking about here, like, you know, wolves, bobcats, badgers, wolverines, otters, and raccoons. Well, they have these blended traits, so they're not quite as good at being a specialist as, say, an endurance runner or a power lifter or a sprinter, but they have this generalist set where they can be pretty good at many of those things. And that's kind of what we see in these events, because these events are blended as well. Whereas if you said, okay, it's a powerlifting contest, well, a bear's going to win it. Or if it is a Olympic 100 meters, the panther's going to win it. Or if it is that trail ultra event, this guy's going to win it. So we do see this. And I think we just celebrate the gifts of all the beasts.
Absolutely. And that'd be another way to sort of frame up this argument. If we just started with the beast and said, what world-class competition are they the best suited for? There's a long list for each of them, indeed. But, you know, we started with the competitions in this particular case. Talking about high rocks and which animal fit animal you think that those folks were that really excelled.
Yeah, this is really unique. I had to study this quite a bit and ponder it. So high rocks, again, it's that gym-based hour of power, shall we say. So the strength demands, you know, they're fairly substantial. You know, honestly, just the pushing that sled, I think it was 175 kilos, for the men, and I don't know what the coefficient of friction was on the indoor track, but I'm pretty sure if I took a run at it, I could budge it. But you know, there you go. So the strength demands are fairly substantial, especially when you're coming at each strength event or just event in between the runs in a tired state. So that, you know, I wanted to say that right off the bat. So that automatically eliminates raccoons and coyotes. You know, they're just a little, not in a derogatory way, but they're just a little too thin and weak to be able to do that to the sled, you know, and other implements, you know. So we appreciate that. Now here's an interesting thing. There's also too much burn for a panther. You know, panthers they're drag racers, you know, so they're good at running the 40 or the 60 or the 100. That's a sprint. That's a true sprint. You know, you're not like doing something for 17 minutes with some crap strapped onto you. No, you want to see who's fast? Let's all run the 40 and the fast guy will win. That's something that a lot of these events still need to learn, I think, because speed is really an important attribute that has to be tested in purity. But anyway, coming back to this, all that aerobic burn, you know, if you're Usain Bolt, you're not going to go for an hour, you know, I mean, why would you, if you're Usain Bolt? But, you know, so we see that. Now, when we look at these wolves, wolves do pretty good in the high rocks model, but they just can't handle quite that much load. You know, again, back to say like me in the sled, you know, like if I was able to get that event done, it would take me, you know, like 20 minutes and I'd be out of the competition, no matter how good I could do anything else. And there was a guy who got third overall who was a wolf, a guy from Germany. His name is Tobias. I forgot the last name, but you could really see that in his body type. You know, he was running, shall we say, like a wolf, but man, he would get to some of those events and did well and worked hard, but it wasn't the same output as you could see, like, you know, a guy like McIntyre doing, who's, you know, pretty freaking jacked. So wolves don't do so well at that load. Now, here's where it gets interesting, though, because it's the ability to do lots of activities while still holding a pretty high output. That's otters and bobcats, especially bobcats, do the best at high rock because they can combine pretty good strength with what I like to call go-go mojo.
Nice. Okay, so this is a question that I have because Hunter McIntyre, didn't he finish second in Spartan, but he won high rocks?
Yep.
So what would he be? What do you think his animal fit animal is that?
Again, this was one of the things I had to analyze quite a bit.
Yeah.
And he is a jacked bobcat. So,
okay.
So if we explain this, you know, you see these paired critters. So when we were talking about CrossFit, we said, you know, like, Wolverines and badgers are more similar than they are different. So basically, you create a badger by having a bear first and a panther second. Well, you create a wolverine by having a panther first and a bear second. So you just kind of get in these ratio games. And so if one is 60-40 one way and the other's 40-60, it's like, oh, okay, there's some differences in these athletes, but there's more similarities. Well, same thing happens when you look at bobcats and wolves. The wolf is going to have a little less agility, elasticity, explosive nature, a little more like stamina on the endurance side, but they're going to be similar, you know. And so as a jacked bobcat, he's a guy who's probably like, 80-20, 85-15. So he's got a lot of panther in him. And that's the only way, you know, you're going to see a guy with that much muscularity, and especially who does a lot of running and not, and doesn't lose the muscle. You know, if you got to have the genetics panther wise, but he's got just enough coyote, which is how you make a bobcat, you know, you mix panther and coyote to have, you know, good, you know, trainable endurance capacity. And so, he was close to Ryan Atkins in the Spartan, who's a wolf, Ryan Atkins is. So obviously that Spartan thing went long enough that it exposed the true wolf. Whereas in Hyrox, I mean, I would be a guy to say, I think McIntyre's almost like currently almost unbeatable at this because of his ability to just combine, you know, speed, strength, and all around athleticism.
I love it. I love it. That's such a, I guess, satisfying explanation for the two different, and we're talking at the very, very highest level. You really have to sort of study the book, and it helps if you've classified yourself to then take a look at these athletes, and especially when you know people who fit into these different categories. Like, for example, John, you know this, and some of the viewers might, but, you know, we did my parents, and my mom's a wolf, my dad's a bobcat. So it's just kind of funny to talk about these two extremely high-powered athletes for both Spartan and Hydrox performing, and then also equate that trickling down to just my folks, you know, people that you know and see, and their own gifts and challenges. So I think that's it's just fun to do, period. But also I think it can be so informative, and there's so many takeaways to just essentially how you live your life. So my final question to you, John, is how can you tie this together? Do you have any suggestions for the listeners out there to apply what we've talked about today? Or, you know, what are your nuggets and pearls to take home and tuck away for the people listening?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So first of all, I would say, hey, when you look at these three models, which we discussed, you know, possibly consider which one fits your inner beast the best. Or, and your inner beast is not just your physicality, it's your personality. It's, there's a lot of things. And so you'll be drawn, or you'll associate with that one, that you'll know it. And so maybe give it a try. In other words, try some training and maybe a competition in that genre. The other thing I'd like to look at, or like to suggest that we all take a look at, is let's look at our training, whatever it is that we're doing, and just make sure we're covering all the bases. And so, you know, I would say this, that if you took any of the athletes in any of these competitions, they are covering all the bases. They're working to some extent on strength, speed, power, agility, and endurance. And that's kind of cool. You know, they're not just doing one thing. And I think when we look at certainly athletic longevity, the ability to just be and stay athletic over the lifespan, we want to be careful that we've got something in all the buckets. So I'd say that. Next up, it would be to possibly invent your own competition or game. If you don't have something available, or just doesn't quite appeal to you, and stage it with your peeps. So I've been doing this, I mean, in a really official capacity, you know, 10, 12 years, but otherwise pretty much forever, where, you know, every summer with our training tribe, you know, the local members, we train together in the summer, and, you know, we get together. Last year we had Fit Comp 2020, you know, it sounded good, but it, And it's kind of a, you know, every year I get inspired by these things. I make an amalgamation of things, you know, different, you know, events and designs, and we just do it. And what's cool is you see that very thing we were talking about. It's like one person shines in one area, another in another. And then the overall person is the one who kind of put together the averages. Just fun to do. And, you know, again, you can do it. Doesn't take any, you know, not much in the way of time, equipment, money. You know, you can figure something out. So say that. Just two more points, though. The beast, the human beast, your inner athlete, this critter doesn't, it's not a bubble boy or girl, doesn't need to be babied. It is made to be tested once in a while. That's how the natural world works. And so don't feel like you don't want to stress your body ever. We just want to have sensible, controlled stresses. Well, explore your limits and maybe surpass them. There's that one. My final thing for today is this. Competition is, it's natural and necessary. It's not something that we shouldn't be embracing. And I want to make a quote here to say this. To avoid competition is to live a life diminished.
Ooh, no question. I think that to just kind of piggyback on that point, I think that there, and I think it's sort of abated a bit, but there was kind of this idea that just competing, everyone's a winner, you know, sort of like that cliched kids softball example. And I do think that what we see from looking at these competitions is that, you know, to compete and to voluntarily put yourself out there, there is no, just like you said, in the Spartan race, that ultra runner who finished dead last, have all the respect in the world and admiration for going out of his quote unquote specific discipline to compete against these people that he probably knew he was, you know, not as well suited for that competition. And so you could say he finished dead last, but in my book, that is just as impressive as the person who won. So I think that I couldn't agree more with your quote there, John.
Yeah, and that guy was a real ambassador too. What a sportsman. And that was, I really took that as well. You know, everyone encouraged him on and supported him. And he even had made a comment in an interview. He's like, gosh, you know, I've got some good input, some data. I'm going to work on some of these things moving forward. So great for him. And, you know, in parting, I just want to say, hey, thank you for being with us today, for listening, for being a part of this community. If the messages resonate with you, engage with us. Leave us a comment or a question through any of the media that are available. And if you haven't done so already, please rate and review the podcast. It certainly helps us to be able to keep doing these things. And if you need some help, some coaching from me, consider that. If you want to join the training tribe, that's just a few clicks at thelifetimeathlete.com. And until then, hey, strive. Keep striving. Keep thriving. Love you.
Adios, everyone.